Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah.
30 seconds.
Hallelujah. 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 I was going to do some things right now when I got up, but I'm not doing them because I wanted to preach in the anointing. Amen? So I'll hit them briefly, and then I'll tell you, we'll give you more info later. Three things real quick. Wow, I am getting whacked. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. 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 I need you to drink during the message. If you don't know what that means, you'll know at the end, all right? But have your spirit man drinking while I'm... He's pouring out new wine. Jesus did promise he would. Amen? Oh, my son's not here. My son turned 16 tomorrow. If you see him, wish him happy birthday if you would. I've known him for a while now, and he's a special guy in my life. He's been going to this church for, pretty much since the beginning. And bless the Lord. Man, I'm getting whacked. I'm so good. How you doing? Have a good Thanksgiving? You're not too depressed, are you? Because Florida lost yesterday. But did anybody see the FAU game? We need to up our intercession for FAU football. I tell you what, they scored 55 points and still lost. 55-77. It was like we just need to up the intercession. Can we just up the intercession a little bit, or try out for the team? One or the other. 55-77. That's brutal, right? I have two things I want to tell you real quick. Three things. Number one, and I'm going to have them explain this maybe next week. No, I'm not. Okay. So in your Bible, I'm just trying to track the Holy Spirit here. We'll talk about those later maybe. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. Go ahead and put it up. I'm getting whacked. I'm just trying to track the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? All right. It says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and, say it with me, live to righteousness. So we may die to sin and live to righteousness. We're in our message series, Fully Alive. Now, I don't want to walk this earth a dead man walking, amen? There's a popular TV series out right now, The Walking Dead, and it could be the American church. The walking dead. Can't really discern them from anybody else. Not doing anything anybody else can't do. The walking dead. The church in America is filled with unbelieving believers who have accepted a philosophy but have not fully bought into the fact that we can be fully alive in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a way we get a fully alive in Christ Jesus, and it is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? The power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen? We need the Holy Ghost of God. We don't need better teaching. We don't need more philosophy. We don't need more rhyming words. We don't need more catchy phrases. We don't need more Christian events. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm not against any of those things, but without the Holy Ghost, it's just not all that profitable. We need the Holy Ghost of God in the church of Jesus Christ. I can't imagine that Jesus ever thought he'd have a church without the Holy Ghost. Am I starting too quick? Am I coming on too strong right now? Am I coming on too strong, right? Am I at the first date talking about the wedding? And you're like, whoa, pump the brakes. That's Christian dating, right? We go on one date, we talk about our wedding. What? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They don't do that in the world. We do that in the church, though, don't we? You meet somebody, we don't think, he's nice. We think, I think I could be married to him. Slow down. Hallelujah. Full disclosure, I got engaged my first date, so. I bought the ring before the date, so I don't know how that fits into what I'm saying, but. We want to be fully alive in Christ, though. Amen. I want to see you fully alive in Christ. I want to see you carry that life. Can I get some monitor? I'm not in this at all. If I just get a little bit. We want to be fully alive. We want everything. No, let me say this. Jesus died for a reason. Amen. It's not like he died and then we can get some benefit from it. He died for a reason. And for us not to fully receive what he died for is to minimize his death. It's to devalue his death. He died for a reason. I spent a lot of money so my son can have his own room. If he didn't live in the house, that would kind of negate all the price that I paid for my son to have. Right? You hear what I'm saying? It would negate that. I spend money so my kids can have a good education. I work hard so my kids can have a good family. For them not to receive of it is to negate the efforts that I have spent. People do a lot of work to make this church have a place for Holy Spirit to move. And we negate that when we don't capitalize on all their efforts. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah? He died for a reason. And we need to capitalize, and we need to, let me say it better, we need to attain everything he died for. Hallelujah. We see here in this scripture, Peter is talking to believers, he's talking to the church, and he hits our entirety of our three-part being, right? Let's look at this again, 1 Peter 2:24. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin, right? He talked about his body, might die to sin and live to righteousness. He's talking about die to sin, that's in our soul, man, live to righteousness. There's our spirit, man. We have our spirit, soul, and body that Jesus died for. It's important that we don't just live two-thirds or one-third of the Christian life that Jesus gave us. Now, I know that you cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit. We know that without Holy Spirit, you can't even confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And once you confess Jesus Christ, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, and you receive the Holy Spirit. So every believer out there who confesses the name Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit. Amen? But we're talking about a little something more. We're talking about a second act of grace and being filled with the Spirit. Amen? And you don't just get that by going to church. You don't get that just by calling yourself a Christian. There's an active relationship. Let me say it this way. You don't become a Christian just by being born into a household of Christians. Amen? We don't baptize babies, although I did see an exciting baby baptism video recently. It almost looked like it should have been an egg batter, right? Like a egg dip with some, now they're getting ready to batter it or something. I don't know what that was. That was pretty violent. But we don't baptize babies because they've not believed in their heart and confessed with their mouth, and they don't need to repent of anything, so they don't need to be saved. Amen? So we don't baptize babies. We dedicate them, but it's really the parents dedicating themselves to raising Christian children. Right? But you receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, but you later... But you don't get that until you receive him. So just because you're born in a Christian home doesn't actually make you a Christ follower. Can't follow somebody you haven't met. You have to be able to identify him. You can't follow him until you meet him, right? And so you got to meet him and you develop your relationship with Jesus Christ at salvation, right? I'm laying a foundation here, right? This is like I'm laying the foundation. We're going to build on it, but I need you to let me know that you're with me. We're tracking together, all right? So at salvation, you meet Jesus, right? Your spirit man comes alive. You receive the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like the doorway to the spirit realm gets unlocked because you receive the Holy Ghost. Now, all of a sudden, there's a flow of life between the Spirit of God and your spirit. Right, that's what happens at salvation. You meet Jesus, now there's a flow of life. You read the Bible before salvation, makes no sense. Now all of a sudden you're reading the Bible and the author is with you, explaining it to you. Your spirit bears witness that with his spirit that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? All right? So we have this flow of life happening at salvation. Before that, you don't have it. You don't have it. So you meet people, you say, hey, are you Christian? Yeah, my whole life. You haven't been saved then. Because once you get saved, you realize you have not been saved your whole life. Amen? I thought I was a Christian my whole life, and then I got saved. And found out I had not been a Christian. My works bore witness that I wasn't, but to me, that didn't matter. When I got saved, I recognized I didn't know him, Jesus Christ the Lord. And let me say this, if you don't know him, Jesus Christ the Lord, today is your day. You're here for a reason, amen? Today's the day. If you don't know him, not know about him, if you don't know him, this world doesn't know him. They know about him through gossip about him, but they don't know him. You ever meet somebody that you heard a lot of gossip about and they turn out to be an entirely different person? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? You hear a lot of gossip and then you meet them, you're like, wow, that's not even them. That's Jesus. Those who haven't met him have only heard gossip about him. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, but you got to know him. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 You good? We good? We good? So Jesus said, we need to get the Holy Ghost. And in the Bible, it's always a second work of grace. After salvation, we've developed a relationship with Jesus. We develop a relationship with Holy Spirit. He fills us with power, and he anoints us to do incredible things for him. Now, every spirit, every believer has Holy Spirit, but they've not been filled with the Spirit and been empowered. Are you with me? Let's see what the scriptures talk about it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, if you would. Now, while you turn there, our Christmas service is coming up. Sam's going to tell you a little bit more about it. Christmas service is on the 18th. The kids are going to sing a song. Bring your family and friends. You can come crowd up here and take pictures of them. We're going to celebrate. And we have the honor, just the honor of gathering with our spiritual family on Christmas Day this year. It's so awesome. On Christmas morning, we're going to have service. We're going to have communion, and I believe we're going to have a powerful time with the Lord. I remember early in this church, I would have friends who were church leaders, and they were like, yeah, Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, so we're not going to have church. And I'm like, isn't that why we have church? We're not going to have church because of the birth of Jesus? I'm like, I'm trying to map that out. Jesus came and we became believers, but on the day that he came, we're not going to celebrate him because he came. I'm like, I don't understand. We have an honor this year that we get to have service on Christmas morning. We have a very brief service. We're going to do it we're going to try to do it in and out in an hour. We're going to have a brief worship. We're going to have time of communion, have powerful time with Holy Spirit, and go love our families. Amen. But I'm looking forward to celebrating Jesus, the birth of Jesus with you Sunday morning. Amen. Right here, December 25th. Amen. Yeah. Some people are like, hey, what you ought to do is have it on Christmas Eve. I'm like, you're not from South Florida, are you? That's not going to work here. Right? We don't have an Irish base here, right? You're like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, a lot of people who are from the Southern Hemisphere celebrate at midnight Christmas, and so they're busy. And if you're like me, we celebrate at Christmas morning, but it's at like 7 a.m., right? And so by 10:30, we're good to go. All right, we're good to go. Matthew chapter 3, it says, as for me, I baptize, this is John the Baptist talking, amen? John the Baptist says, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He'll gather his wheat into the barn. He'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let me tell you a little something. This is a prophetic word I have for you today, the Church of Jesus Christ and Revival Life Church here in Boca Raton. I love you all, and I believe that we have a God who is bigger than anything you're going through. Amen? I believe that Jesus wants us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? I believe that through the power of Jesus Christ, we have power over sin, we have power over sickness, we have power over poverty, we have power over disease. You hear what I'm saying? Amen? Amen? Amen. And John the Baptist says, listen, I'm going to baptize you, but when I baptize you, you're going to get baptized with water for repentance. That's your public declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord. You get water baptized and you're forgiven of your sin, the Bible says. So we know it's faith in Jesus, but in other parts, it talks about through water baptism. So we don't know exactly how it works. We know that you need to get water baptized. Amen. We know that. I don't care where you get water baptized. I don't care what words they use. Let me say that real quick. I don't care what words other people say over you when you get water baptized, because water baptism is between you and Jesus. Right? I've seen people get baptized by the Holy Ghost and nobody said anything over them into the water. Was that valid? Yes. It's between your heart and Jesus. It's your faith, not the person baptizing you. I've ministered to people in the hospital. This is an interesting story. I ministered to somebody in the hospital one time who had a broken hip. He's in a terrible car accident. He believed the Lord spared his life, though he wasn't a follower. Ministered to him, gave his life to Christ. Hallelujah, which is a good place to do it, right? And immediately the Lord spoke to him and to me at the same time that he needs to get water baptized. Now you with greater faith than me would say, well, then clearly his hip is healed. Let's drag him out of the hospital. I was not at that place. You got a broken hip. You broke it the day before. I'm not dragging you anywhere. But he needs to get water baptized. I believe water baptism in immersion. Fully under, dead with Christ, come up out of the water, alive with Christ. I also believe that the Holy Ghost knows that. And he told me to water baptize him. So what do? Say, sorry, Holy Spirit, you must be mistaken. I'm sorry, God, I have a better plan than you. No. I got some water, poured it over his head, and I water baptized him. Was that a valid baptism because he wasn't dunked? Yes. Don't get so caught up in religion you miss the God who's in charge of everything. There's a lot of arguments about water baptism, and it's a distraction from give your life to Christ. Are you with me? There's a lot of talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of distractions about it. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I had certain manifestations on my life. You might have certain different manifestations, which are correct. Receive the Holy Ghost. That's the point, right? Well, I already got him. Get him again, right? We see in the Bible they got filled over and over and over again. So if you've received the Holy Spirit, you want to receive him again and again and again and again. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to receive him, right? We don't get baptized in tongues. Let me just clear some stuff up. You don't get baptized in tongues. That is the weirdest teaching I've ever heard in my life. I'm just picturing a bucket of tongues that you get dropped into. You don't get baptized in tongues. I want to receive tongues. What does that mean? I want to receive tongues. What does that mean? Right? Nobody sends you a tongue. You do receive your prayer language. Right? The fire landed on people as if tongues of fire. Right? You with me here? Right? Are you with me? Are we on the same page here? Are we okay? Are we doing okay? Are we doing all right? Yeah. We don't get baptized in tongues. We get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the baptizer. Yeah. Right? You didn't receive the Holy Ghost from me. You received it from Jesus. Right. If I gave it to you, I could take it away. Wow. Jesus gave it to you. And the Bible says he'll never take it away. Right. Are you with me? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm feeling good right now. I'm feeling good right now. So Jesus gives us power over sickness, over disease, over poverty, over confusion. The troubling thing I find in the New Testament, but I don't see in much of the New Testament charismatic church today, is I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where he says we're never going to have hard times. You're never going to have struggle. You're not going to have any problems. It's just not in there. And so the way to... I'm just going to say this, all right? The way to sell a bunch of books is to find a truth and call it the truth. And then everybody tries to live in that as it's the center of all truth, but nobody can because you can't. But you act like you can, and so you sell a bunch of books trying to teach people how to do something that they can't actually do. That's why they need your book, because they can't do it. Okay, let me say it this way. I believe in on earth as it is in heaven, amen? But in heaven, there's no struggle. And we're promised struggles on earth. There's no struggles in heaven, Chris. But Jesus said there will be struggles on earth. Nobody's going to murder you in heaven there, Mike. But he said there's going to be believers murdered on earth. That almost got tricky, didn't it? That almost got tricky. Almost a very prophecy you had to cast down in the middle of the service. That almost went somewhere funny. Listen, Jesus doesn't have any sickness, so he's not giving you sickness. Amen? He doesn't have poverty, so he's not giving you any poverty. Amen? Jesus got lots of struggle. Listen to this. Let's go back to verse 12 here. Matthew 3:12. This is going to get encouraging in a moment. But first, you got to know why you need to be encouraged. There's struggle going on in people in this house right now. And it's not because you're messing up. And it's not because God has abandoned you. Right? I want to give some value to what you're going through right now. Verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. Let's start with this right here. What is he talking about, the threshing floor? Well, you know, when wheat comes, they have to separate the wheat from the chaff, right? The wheat is the stuff we want. We make bread out of it, and it sustains life. The chaff is all the stuff around it that we don't want, that doesn't help, that's got to get taken away. And they beat this wheat to get the chaff off. It's a kind of a violent thing, right? And the wind comes when they do it. When they clean out the wheat, they throw it up into the wind, and the wind kind of blows away the chaff that is still with the wheat. But here, there's a threshing, and they break it all down, knowing that it will separate the wheat from the chaff. And John the Baptist said of Jesus, his winnowing fork is in his hand. He'll thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He'll gather his wheat into the barn, but he'll burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the earth, but he's also talking about your individual life. In each of our lives, there's wheat and there's chaff. All right? There's stuff that I love about me, and there's stuff I don't love about me. There's God's stuff in me that I think is amazing. There's stuff that I've accomplished in my life, just like you, that I think, I never thought I'd be able to accomplish this. By the power of Jesus Christ and just the gifts he's given me, I've done more than I ever thought I'd be able to do. How about you? Amen? And that's okay to say, man, I have accomplished something in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Then give glory to God. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I am his creation, and he don't create junk, right? Amen. He created something good right here. Now, it's up to me whether or not I'm going to use it for good. Right? And when I do, I give him glory. I don't take the credit. I give him glory, right? I'm excited about what he's done in my life, and I give him glory for that, right? But there's stuff in me that's wheat, and there's stuff in me that's chaff. There's stuff in me that's created in God's image, and there's stuff in me that's made it in Carl's image, right? And I'm trying to get all the Carl out of Carl. Are you with me? And he promised here that the Holy Ghost is going to come. And when the Holy Ghost comes in my life, guess what? Threshing begins. Now, you can just go to church and there'd be no threshing. You can call yourself a Christian, no threshing. Hallelujah. But you'll never be more than you. You'll be never more than you. All you get is you. I want Christ in me, the hope and glory. I want what he's created me to be. And that takes a little threshing. That takes a little separating the wheat from the chaff. I don't know if you've ever received prophetic ministry from someone who hasn't been through the threshing. And they give you a bunch of words out of their soul. I'm like, I'm sure this means something to you, but to me this means nothing. Because spirit is not talking to spirit. There's a whole lot of chaff around your wheat. Does this make sense? We need to go through threshing. I need more than me. You need more than me. You need God in me. Amen? And Jesus said, listen, Holy Ghost is coming, and there's going to be some threshing. And all that chaff, not only is it going to get separated from the wheat, it's going to get burned up. You ever seen a big fire with dried out chaff? It's a big, it's hot, it's uncontrollable, and it's ugly. It causes all kind of smoke and soot, and people cough on it. And some of you, right now, in this season, there's threshing going on. And you don't understand, what did I do? What did I get wrong? Why am I going through this? You're going through this because God is doing something in your life. God is doing something in your life. In John chapter 16, Jesus talks, and Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it's your advantage that I go away, For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That him is Holy Spirit. Him, Holy Spirit. Why would you need Holy Spirit? If all we need is the Bible, if all we need is a church, go to church and a Bible, what would we need Holy Spirit for? Because you're going to need some help. You're coming into something, you're going to need some help. And if you're at a place in life where you're at the end of you, good news, there is help on the way. His name is Holy Spirit. His name is Holy Spirit. We may meet Jesus at salvation, but guess what? You need to develop a relationship with Holy Spirit. You need to develop a relationship with Holy Spirit. Develop a relationship with Holy Spirit. Are you with me? You say amen. You need to develop a relationship with Holy Spirit. Listen, hard times come. Struggles come. Listen, here's what... I know many of you feel called to ministry, and I believe many people in this house are going to be in just really powerful ministries. And you're going to go to all the big church growth meetings and all the happy, clappy church network meetings. And they're going to teach you all the clever ways of getting people to go to church. Part of those clever ways is, you know, on the build up to Christmas, you have lots of high energy services. And all your preaches bring people to Christmas service, right? Go to any big, and I don't slander them at all. I'm happy for every big church is doing amazing things in South Florida. Very, very thankful. Very thankful. Go to their websites. It's all, you're going to bring people to Christmas. Christmas is everything. Our Christmas service is everything. For me, Jesus is everything. And as much as I want to do happy, clappy church today, Jesus said people are going through some stuff and they need the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? People are going through stuff and they need the Holy Ghost. They need the power of God. They need the power of God in their lives. South Florida needs the power of God. You get past religion and you start talking to people about Jesus, about having a dynamic relationship with Jesus, and every religious demon starts to manifest. You could be around Thanksgiving, you just talk about how you're loving God. You can talk about church, people don't care. Talk about what your pastor preached, nobody cares. You start talking about having an intimate, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. Start talking about healing the sick. Start talking about prophetic words that you've heard Jesus say. Start talking about the promise of God. And all of a sudden, religious spirits start to manifest. People start talking about how they learned it here and how they learned it there and what this church says and what that thing says. You say, I don't know about all that. All I know is that I was in the secret place and the Lord Jesus Christ came up to me and started talking to me. Well, in my church, we talk about baptism like this. Yeah, Jesus didn't tell me anything about your church. He just told me about the Holy Spirit. He didn't talk anything about what your pastor preaches. He just told me about get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Are you happy? Hallelujah. Chris, I don't want religious demons in my life. Duke, I don't want religious demons. I want the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. I want the life giver living on the inside of me. I'm not really interested in man-made philosophies. You see, God does something and people study it and they figure out a system for it and they call it religion and they said everybody has to do everything that way. And they take the Spirit of God right out of the move of God. It's not what I want. I want an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I want stuff to happen more than what I can do. Are you happy? I'm just going to be up here plowing. I'm just going to be up here plowing. Hallelujah. See, Corey, you can sing all the cute Bethel songs. Scream like Kim Walker if you want. get all sweet and sappy like Carrie Job, but without the Holy Ghost, it's not going to accomplish anything. I mean, it might draw a crowd, might make people say, man, Corey, you're awesome, but it won't open heaven for nobody. It won't open heaven for nobody. So Thanksgiving dinner, guy was talking to me, he said, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but he's like, I encountered God. I said, hallelujah. He started telling me about it. He's like, man, have you ever heard anything like that? I said, I try to live there. That's where I want to live. Hallelujah. 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 It's on you now, Lydia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just feel like there's some people here going through a struggle, need an encounter with the Holy Ghost, but that's not all I'm going to do today. You need to understand the value in your suffering. 2 Corinthians 12 says, this is Paul. There's a philosophy in the church today. I love the Church of Jesus Christ, but there's a philosophy that we can be better Christians than Paul or Peter. We can have a better life than that. I've heard people criticize Paul for having suffering, that if he had greater faith, he wouldn't have had to go through it. I don't know about all that. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. Hey, listen, if you're a visitor, I'm going to have some really cute points next week. I'll have a handout. I might even make them rhyme, all right? It's going to be fun. We'll have a good time. I'll break things in acrostic, you know. We'll talk about the pleasure of partnership and the people of purpose and the principles of pickling, you know. Like, we'll just go through it, all right? We'll call it hot pepper Christianity, and we'll talk about the Scoville of the Ecclesia, right? Like, we'll work it all out. But today, I just got to encourage you. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, he says, he said to me, this is Paul talking about Jesus talking to him. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is, look at this, perfected in weakness. Have you feel like you just have a hard time and you just can't do some stuff? His power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sakes. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Listen, I don't know about you. I heard a story that Benny Johnson tells. And she tells a story. She said, you know, she wrote a book, The Happy Intercessor, right? And she talked about when her gift of intercession got called out, a prophet called her to the front and said, listen, I'm going to give out gifts. And she was walking to the front. She says, anything but intercession, anything but. Ever since I heard that story, when I know someone's prophesying over people, I say, anything but billionaire, anything but billionaire, Jesus. I'm trying to make that thing work for me, right? Worked out well for her. Anything but billionaire, Jesus. Hasn't worked out yet, but I'm pressing in for the promise, right, that I made up. Pressing in. But listen, ha, 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 ha. I have found, I've been in times of great poverty. Like, how poor are you talking? How poor can you get? You know, just broke, right? We've been broke. I've been broke. And then I've been like, can't get any more broke than this. And then you get more broke. Like, it's funny the levels of broke you can attain. It's amazing. You're like, well, this has got to be the bottom. And never underestimate the Lord's ability. He is the God of the impossible. And you're like, can't get any worse than this. Oh, is my arm too short to reach out? You know, like when a rubber band is stretched, you remember that? I remember praying to Jesus, like, Lord, I can't stretch anymore. Like, this is the end. Like, you're stretching me so far. If you stretch me anymore, I'm just going to break. And then it went for 18 more months, right? He's like, oh, no, no, don't underestimate my ability to stretch you even farther than you're being stretched right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, you think you can talk Jesus into getting something done in your life, right? Like, no, no, I don't know if you know this, God, but this is as far as we can go. He's like, oh, no. Oh, no. There's so much more that we can do. There's so much more. There's so much more, right? If you know what I'm talking about. I've also been in times that I was just ridiculously blessed and felt like, I don't even know why I'm getting blessed like this. This is ridiculous. I don't deserve this. It's exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever been like God just blesses you? I remember just time and again, I remember just getting blessed and be like, I just cannot believe. Or you get in a season and things are just easy. And they're just so easy that you just start getting a little arrogant, just thinking everything's going to work out now. Like everything, I've come into my call now and I don't have to worry about the struggles anymore. I'm the man of God. God's favor is on my life and everything's easy. You know, I've been in both seasons and I found I only grow when things are hard. I've never been in a season of things being really easy in that and having me grow in Christ. I've never gotten on my face and said, oh, Jesus, come through. I have more money than I need right now. Everybody's healthy. And nobody's insulting me. Jesus. I don't know about you. That has never driven me to my knees. It's never kept me up in the middle of the night crying out to God. I've never fasted because things are good. You're giving me $1,000. I'm not eating for 3 days. Jesus, I need breakthrough. I need breakthrough. Right? I don't know. Is it you? Not me. I never received a great healing and then just like, I'm not going to watch TV for a month just to get God in my life. Right? But sometimes we're in a season of struggle and it drives us to Jesus. Right? It drives us to Jesus. And sometimes God is so good. Hear me. This is like, you know, Christianity 201, right? This isn't intro, you know, God is good, woohoo, all the time and all the time, God is good, woohoo, let's go home and invite everybody to church, right? Like this is something a little bit deeper. Sometimes you're missing God's best and he's got to do something to force you to want his best, right? Other times, you didn't have anything to do with it. God just decided, hey, guess what? Time for you to level up. You're like, woohoo, level up. Yes, no money for a month. How is that? Wait a minute, because where I'm from, level up is, I don't understand. He's like, no, 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 but you're going to grow in this. And God is really interested in your growth. He's really interested that you would live your life from the spirit realm. And so some of you are going, wow, some of you are going through great struggles in this season. I feel it in the spirit, the Lord is talking to me. Some of you, and like, you just, you've repented of everything you could think to repent of. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Dude says, you've run out of stuff to repent of. You're like digging deep, looking for stuff. I'm like, clearly this is my fault. Let me tell you the danger in that. And it's good. The danger in that is, if everything bad is your fault, then everything good is probably your fault as well. Right? And we get a little too inward focused as believers. Struggles are coming. Some of you, I feel this about the Holy Ghost. Some of you, your struggle is you're carrying someone else's, you're interceding for someone else's burden in a very hard season. Period. Because that's your job. You're carrying a burden right now. And you're going to bring breakthrough for your family or someone you've been crying out for or someone you may not even know. Some of you, you're in a season of intercession for a season that hasn't even come yet. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? I mean, there is more happening than you can see with your eyes when you're in the Holy Ghost, when you're a spirit-led believer. Like, you know, when you're looking for more than just, you know, cars, monies, women, husband, you know, when you're looking for more than that, then more is happening than you can see with your eyes. And some of you are in a struggle season because it's level up. It's time for you to be able to carry more. And you don't go in the gym and look for the lightest weight and brag about your growth. The whole goal of going to the gym is to carry heavier weights. But we get in Christ and the whole goal is for things to be easier. Like, wait a minute. That didn't even make sense in the natural. I want to do less and less for my entire life. If I am faithful enough to Jesus, I'll carry less weight now than I did yesterday. No. No, I want to carry my weight. I want to carry my family's weight. I want to be able to have spiritual muscles that when you're coming into struggles, I can march into the secret place with you. And I could kick open the doors of hell and be like, no, you all go home right now. You're getting off their life. I don't know about you. I want to be stronger, but you only get stronger by carrying heavier weight. Amen. And sometimes, hear me, some of you are going into a season of struggle or in a season of struggle. And I believe many of you are coming out of it, but you got to know the purpose of being in it so the Lord can do what he wants to do in it before you get out of it. Otherwise, the season is wasted. Hello. I don't want to go through a season of struggle and it come to nothing. Because guess what? It's coming around again. Amen? Right? Right? You never fail a test with God, right? You just keep taking it. I don't know about you. I'm glad college is over for me. I'm done with those tests. Hallelujah. Are you like me and you still having nightmares about going back to school? Does that happen to anybody else? Middle of the night, you're in high school again. Oh, Jesus. Right? Because you're like, oh no, these tests are coming around again. No, you passed those, you're done, or you dropped out. One or the other. But okay, I'm finishing up with this. These seasons of struggle come. And if your entire life is focused on the here and now, on the physical realm, on your body, even on your soul, even on your happiness and your pleasure, you're going to fail. You're not going to come into God's purpose. But if you can live your life in the Spirit, right? If you live your life in the Spirit, then all these things have a purpose and you're not going to waste them. You're not going to waste them. Jesus said he sent the Holy Ghost to help. And many of you have not relied on Holy Spirit to get you through this season. You see, he sent the Holy Ghost so you can have a direct access to the heavenly realm. So you can have the voice of God in your life. So you can have power. See, some of you are in struggles that you're not going to get out of because you are there to kick down the plans of the enemy. That's why you're in it. And when you'll get out of it, once you defeat the devil in that season. Period. Some of you are in it and you're going to stay there until you decide, I'm going to do something different and I'm going to get this devil out of my life. Right? Like some of you, it is what it is. Period. Others are there until you get some weight, some strength to your life to move the mountain that's in front of you. Some of you are there just because it's training time. I took to statistics in college because it was required, and I can tell you, most assuredly, I have not done any statistical math work since. I've not had to calculate any standard deviations since I never will, right? It's just never going to happen. However, it's just something I had to learn. Some of you, you're in a season, you just got to learn something. Some of you are going to learn you can get through more than you thought you can get through. You can see when struggle comes, you're not going to die. Listen, Jesus wants you to know how strong you are. But you don't know until there's something in front of you that's got to get lifted. And listen, you can't do it, but with the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you can. As you begin to have this relationship with Holy Spirit, and as the power of God begins to well up on the inside of you, and you start seeing in the spirit realm that these things, oh, wait a minute, there's more going on here than I saw, and those who are with me are way more than those who are against me. Come on, you get the Holy Ghost on the inside of you and God starts activating your prophetic vision and you see the angels that he sent to help you and you see the word of God working on your behalf and you start seeing the promises of God manifest in your life. All of a sudden, the struggles don't seem nearly as struggleful, if that's a word. You could even have peace in the midst of the storm because the storm won't dictate your peace. I don't want to be a victim of the weather. I want to change the weather. I determine what the weather is. You hear me? We're in a season of storm. Not me. I'm in a season of fellowship with Jesus. Because in my weakness, he's strong. And I want a strong Jesus around me. And so sometimes I'm going to have to be weak. Hello. 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 I love the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm just a little irritated. Jesus is not my servant. We call him Lord for a reason. And you can name and claim everything you want. Jesus might say no. And the worst thing you can do is figure out how to get it outside of his will. You can claim your way right into stuff Jesus doesn't want for you. I've seen people do it with jobs, with relationships, with ministry. Call it God until your life falls apart. That's for someone. Hallelujah. It might be for me. Listen, we got to follow Jesus. We need the Holy Ghost to do that. We need the Holy Ghost to do that. Amen? Mike, come play some keyboard for me. We need the Holy Ghost to do that. Are you with me? Okay. Here's what's going to happen. And this is going to be really simple. I have preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost many, 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 many times. When I started this church, I just preached it for a couple months. Here's what's going to happen. Mike's going to play a little keyboard. Sam's going to come up and give us our announcements. Don't nobody go anywhere while Sam's talking, please. I'm going to come up here and I'm going to bless you. And those who need to go eat chicken, right? But then I'm going to minister. And some of you need power in this season. And we're going to pray for you and you're going to get the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Some of you are going to speak in an unknown tongue for the first time in your life. Some of you are going to get delivered. Can a believer have demons? A believer can have whatever they want. I'm just going to kick it out. But let's just pray, and then we're going to have Sam come up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person in this room right now. I thank you that you have brought them here today so they can have power over the enemy. Lord, you said that hard times would come. You also said we would have power over the devil. So I thank you that any demonic storm, we can end immediately. And Father, any storm that you have us in, we can endure with joy. Lord, we don't look to the natural to know what you're doing. We set our sights on Jesus and we say, whatever you do is good. We want everything you have for us, Lord. And so I bless every person in the sound of my voice today. I declare freedom on their lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, now listen, the same is going to